Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. Who will believe it? Who will believe it? Only in America. 73 million people have voted for Donald Trump. 73 racist people have voted for Donald Trump. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe that people will stoop that low. And I'm a people person. And I sit around here and tell somebody. See, I told people about racism. See, they don't. Oh, one guy even told me, oh, racism don't even exist. That was the biggest lie I ever heard. I cut him off. Him and I is no longer communicating at all. Racism is alive and well here in America. It's thick. But the good news is more good people than bad people. You see, that's the good news. That's what we have to stand up for, because we have people out here today getting energy from the word racism, white folks. And then you have black folks who also voted for Donald Trump. I would say they're just stupid. You had Latinos voting for Donald Trump. I would say they're stupid, dumb, idiotic, ignorant, whatever word that comes to your mind, that's what I think about a person who will vote for Donald Trump. It doesn't make any sense. You know, if nothing else, this guy have no morals at all. But what he have done, though, he have changed things so much in this country. Well, people, lying is okay now. You know, before, if you lied, people would rhubarb you. Now when you lie, okay, that's just another lie, you know. But this guy have made lying fashionable. How do you let your children listen to this guy? He was the president of these United States, a wacko, you see. But I told people, you know, I was not surprised at all, because I know racism is alive and well in this country, you see. And to my TI brothers and sisters, you know, I love y'all to death, but you guys out here supporting someone like Donald Trump, then you got a problem. You know, and that's a fact. I don't care who it is. Anybody, black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Latino, anybody who will support this guy have no morals, no nothing. But I'm excited today. I'm excited just to say this, that we are going to have a new president. Yes, we are. We are going to have a new president. Not that Joe Biden is going to be any better, but I think if we put enough pressure on him, he'll want to do the right thing. Trump will never do the right thing. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. He don't care if 50 million people die. He care long as it's not him. He really don't care. You see, he don't care. He never cared. He don't care about nobody but himself. But we, the people, have to stand up and fight. Yeah, they voted for him. 73 million people. Can you believe it? 73 million people voted for this racist.
He is, see, Woodrow Wilson was a racist also. He was a president. I mean, well, they all probably was racist, but they didn't flaunt it like Woodrow Wilson and Trump did. They put it right in your face and tell you what you're going to do about it. What you going to do about it? What are you going to do about this? And the word is, most of the time, you're not going to do anything at all.
Well, let me move on. We have a water crisis here in the city of Benton Harbor. The supervisor, Michael Malley, failed to switch the correct switch to kill the bacteria that was in the water. And it affected the water here in the city of Benton. Well, it was already bad.
You know, we have lead in the water. How they say, you got 600 ppbs and 200 ppbs and 350 ppbs. And it should be, well, you shouldn't have any ppbs in the water. But if it's 15, it's not bad. But we have several homes. We don't even know how many homes that has this chemical, which is lead, in the water. We try to deal with the lead and copper rule, which is unfortunate that here in Benton Harbor, for all these years, they never care. See, one thing about my black brothers and sisters, most of the time, they don't care until they get sick, about to die, and then they want to be mad and want to fight. You have to fight before something happens. It's crucial that people understand how important it is to stand up and fight back. And to my TI family, you have to get out. I know that it's difficult. I know they be hitting you from all angles. But you have to fight. If you don't fight, they're going to eventually destroy you. That's what they do. They actually try to destroy you when they have no more use for you, when the experimentation has been completed on you. That's what they do. So to all my TI family, you have to, as strength in numbers, you have to come together and fight. It's over 1 million people out there that's being targeted electronically by this governor or by this government. Over 1 million. Fortunate that it happens. But trust me, it's there. You see, most of the time they don't care because we don't care. We should be standing up fighting with the target individual. If you're being targeted by the governor or by government, we should be right there with you, standing hand in hand, back to back, and ready to do battle to protect you, because it's you today, and it could very easily be me tomorrow, or it could be you tomorrow. You see, this is how this stuff works. So you have to do what you need to do. You have to stand tall. And you have to protect your surroundings. The young man, Jesse, from Texas, he's been getting hit hard, extremely hard. But the point is, he's fighting. To me, it's nothing more important than standing up fighting. You see, it's always going to be something. It's the water here in Benton Harbor. People don't know. That could be something the government have done. We don't know. They got a government inside the government that helps and designed to destroy the people. It might be there to destroy you. We never know. But this is some serious, very serious stuff. But it's time that the people took a stand and said no more. Because this is not the way life's supposed to be.
their strength in numbers. So anytime there's strength in numbers, we got to stand up and fight. And those of you who are out there, today we're going to have an education on people being targeted electronically. Today I want people to listen and understand that this stuff is real. This is not something that Reverend Pinckney is making up. This is not something that these individuals who comes on this show is making up. This stuff is real. They're out there. And people's one lady told me a couple of years ago that, oh, that stuff is not happening to these people. It's all in their mind. Well, that's what they're playing with, their mind. That's what they're trying to do, use them as guinea pigs. But today, we're going to get an education. And I'm going to bring in my very good friend from sunny California, the one and only, there's not two, oh, the one and only Derek Robinson. Derek Robinson, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, Reverend Pinckney. Good afternoon.
Hey, Dick. How you doing today?
Oh, good, thanks.
Well, I got a couple of people on, a couple of newspaper reporters. Matter of fact, it's four of them on here, and I figured you would be the perfect guest to talk about this. And what I want you to do, I want you to take your time, because I know that they have done research on this, because they wouldn't want to write a story unless they had that they did the research and reported it. So I want you to take your time. I want you to take us to where you want us what you want us to know. I don't want you to tell us what I want to know. I want you to tell the people what you want them to know about this electronic surveillance that they're putting on people. So take your time and give it to us the way it's supposed to be done. And you got time. I'm going to give you as much time as you need to just tell us about it, because when they get off, when they start emailing me, telling me about different things, I want to make sure that they have the information and they have it correctly, and I know that you can do that. So talk to me, Derek. You can start wherever your heart desires, but let's give it to them.
Okay. Well, thanks, Reverend Pinckney, for this opportunity. First of all, I'd like to say my name is Derek Robinson, and I'm president of PAX International. It stands for People Against Covert Torture and Surveillance International. Our mission is to assist and support those who are targeted individuals. This is nationwide and worldwide. We assist in a variety of ways, that is through advocacy, raising public awareness, and networking. The issues we deal with are called organized stalking, which is the stalking and harassment activity by a group which is targeting a specific individual. And electronic harassment has to do with the targeting of individuals with directed energy weapons or microwave weapons. And all these activities are now categorized as cyber torture, as designated by the Office of the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture in February of this year. We have recently started a liaison with the Special Rapporteur on Torture, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. His name is Nils Melzer. He has launched an investigation actually in support of targeted individuals to address cyber torture. And because this is a form of torture, it is considered a crime against humanity, and the United Nations is looking into this criminal activity as of this year. Similarly, we believe that these microwave attacks are related to those experienced by the U.S. diplomats to Cuba and China, and now there are reports of high-ranking government officials who are also being attacked with these microwave weapons, such as the CIA officials in Australia and Moscow, and even a White House staffer in the Washington, D.C. area. So this issue is starting to grow exponentially, and we will be watching as more cases start to surface. And we'll be watching these developments over the next few months. We believe that these attacks have their roots in a secret CIA mind control program called Project MKUltra. This officially began in April of 1953. The original intent was to compete with the Russians, Chinese, and North Koreans, who were suspected of brainwashing American prisoners of war returning from the Korean War in the early 50s. More than 86 universities and institutions across the United States and Canada were involved. The CIA used university facilities and personnel without their knowledge. Individual researchers were often used without their knowledge, not knowing that the CIA was the recipient of the research and information they were providing. The program included 149 sub-projects that involved radiological implants, hypnosis, and subliminal persuasion, electroshock therapy, isolation techniques, and drugs, mostly LSD. Sub-project 119 is the one most related to those in our community, which was recording, analyzing, and interpreting bioelectric signals from the human organism and activating human behavior by remote means. There was covert drug testing on unwitting citizens at all social levels, including Native Americans and foreigners. Several tests involved administering drugs in social situations just to observe and see what would happen. The agents doing the monitoring were not even qualified scientists. Test subjects were often not accessible after the first hours of the test, and subjects were often ill for hours or days after being given the drugs, after which there was no follow-up. A lot of it was experimentation in uncharted waters, yet the goal remained the same. Can we get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against fundamental laws of nature, such as self-preservation? Ironically, this presentation coincides as we speak with something called the Universal Periodic Review. This is a human rights evaluation process that is a requirement and happens every 5 years for all member nations of the United Nations, including the United States. The last time the U.S. was reviewed was in 2015 during the Obama administration. The U.S. submitted its report and then received 343 recommendations from member countries for improvement of its human rights programs, along with over 100 submissions from major human rights organizations from the United States and around the globe, such as the ACLU, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Electronic Privacy Information Center, among many others. Since this process began on Monday, November the 9th, the final report has not yet been issued. However, in reviewing member nation recommendations from 2015, I observed that South Africa recommended the implementation of a national action plan to combat racial discrimination, and many nations such as Poland, Hungary, Nepal, India, Kenya, Morocco, and others recommended that the United States establish a national human rights institution to further improve and coordinate human rights abuse issues, with which a coalition of human rights organizations in the United States was in agreement. We are looking forward to the days ahead when we can continue to coordinate our issues with the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture and the UN Human Rights Council, and continue watching as the story about microwave weapons attacks on U.S. dignitaries plays out in the news. Thank you for listening. These are the issues that are mostly on our minds in the community nowadays, Reverend Pinckney.
Absolutely. Listen, you remember that incident where the guy, I guess he was in Washington, D.C., he went into this naval base and he was killed. But he went in there and shot up that naval base, and people said that he was under the influence of the electronic wave or something. Can you talk a little bit about that, or do you remember, do you understand, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the person talking about, his name is Aaron Alexis. He actually had contacted our organization seeking assistance at that time. That was back in 2013, I believe, something like that. He was a microwave attack victim. He had been in the hospital seeking help for microwave weapons attacks. He was also hearing voices, what we call synthetic telepathy. When he contacted our organization, he was very glad to have found us. I emailed him, we had a few email exchanges. He was looking to, he was in the Washington, D.C. area. I was trying to connect him with some others nearby that he can communicate with. However, he only wished to communicate via postal mail. And since I was just contacting him for the first time, I was really not comfortable giving out people's addresses for him to write to and things like that. So he was basically uncomfortable talking on the telephone because he felt that his cell phone communications were being monitored, and that would get himself and other people in trouble. So he declined to communicate that way. So he, I guess we didn't know what we would do. He decided to basically take matters in his own hands. I had no further communication with him, so I had no idea what he was intending to do.
Absolutely.
And basically, on September the 1st of 2013, was when he emailed us, and then September the 16th, I'll never forget, a couple weeks later, we got the news that he walked into the naval base there at the Washington Naval Yard and shot and killed 12 people, and he was killed in the incident. So actually, you know what, at that particular time, I did not realize that that was him that did that. It was only because the FBI conducted an investigation and contacted one of our board members a few weeks later and said, asked, do you know this guy named Aaron Alexis? And he didn't remember who he was, and I didn't either until we saw the communications that they had obviously accessed his computer, and they sent us the emails that we had exchanged, and so then I remembered. So we didn't know until then. So at that point, we contacted the media and informed them of what had happened, and we got a little bit of publicity from that event. But it just shows how people can come under attack, and they really see no remedy for this particular situation. And, you know, from desperation, they decide to take matters in their own hands. We do not condone that type of action, obviously.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And let me say this to you, Derek, because I think it's kind of important. Do you think they had programmed him to do that? Or, you know, give me your take on that part of it, because I remember that, and I also remember that you had exchanged an email with him. I remember that also, and I think we was talking about it, and then his mother contacted you or somebody, or maybe not your group, but there was another group his mother had contacted. I'm thinking it's your group though, that the mother had contacted them, but I'm not sure about that. But my way of thinking just like what had transpired and knowing what you know what this government would do, you know, because remember this, everybody is expendable. I don't mm-hmm. care who you are, you know, even the president, whoever he is, you're expendable in this country, you know, because they have objectives that they're trying to accomplish, and they use it. You know, they may have programmed this guy to go in there and do it. Just like the Cuba incident where the mm-hmm. Americans were there, they didn't put the electronic on the Cuba. They put them on American people who work for our government. So why not put it on them? If, you know, to me, that would have been the most logical thing to do, but why always testing it on American citizens? That's my issue. This young man went into that base and killed 12 people. Just killed them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm really shocked because, and I think there was some communication. I don't know whether it wasn't which. Do you remember his mother contacting you?
Well, some members of our community did reach out to the family.
Right. Okay.
And
now,
were
okay.
communicating. We're in communication with them about mm-hmm. what happened to her son.
Right.
And they were supportive, you know, and they listened to what they had to say. And so that went on for a while. I'm not sure what the end result there was, but I believe that they were comforted by connecting with members of our community.
Absolutely, because I felt that, you know, just the idea of this guy and what happened to him and what happened in Cuba, and also what happened in Kuwait, when that Kuwait or Iraq, when the Iraq army just surrendered. I believe that was done by the electronics. I don't believe that the Iraq army would just give up. Not 'cause those soldiers, they're trained to fight to death. You know, matter of fact, they joined that force, whatever, I can't think of the name of the force right now, but they when they're on that force, their job is to die, you know, fighting to death. And they're supposed to be one of the greatest fighting armies in the whole world. And yet they surrendered to a few, it wasn't even a whole lot of American soldiers, they just dropped their arms and gave up. I never heard that before. So I'm thinking that was done by electronics because of mind control. Because I can't sit here and believe for one second that this fighting army would just give up knowing that they've been trained to die and fight to death. That's what they've been trained to do. But yet still, they dropped their arms and were surrounded by a few soldiers and just outright surrender. I believe that was done by electronics. I don't believe that, you know, it was anything else done other than that. That's my belief.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a type of technology called the Voice of God weapon, mm-hmm. and that technology has the ability to place the human voice into a person's mind, or even a crowd of people's minds, and that's the way that they were able to project or broadcast these words into those soldiers' minds to lay down their arms and surrender. And mm-hmm. they're thinking that, and because they, you know, they were Muslim and believed in Allah, that they believe that they were hearing the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And these technologies do exist, and it is used, it was useful there because they surrender without a fight. And this is the same technology that many of us are experiencing, you know, every day, and it's called synthetic telepathy. It's a voice of God weapon that is used by the military, and we're experiencing the same thing. This type of weaponry, something similar, you were asking about, Aaron Alexis. I do believe that subliminally, he was suggested to self-destruct. And that is something that is consistent with many targeted individuals. They were they're able to broadcast subliminal suggestions to do things that are self-destructive. I receive those myself subliminally, and you have to kind of guard against those types of thoughts that would tend to work against your own interests. But yes, many individuals in our community experience similar situations where they are told to do things that would harm themselves. And so, yeah, his handlers or his attackers knew very well what he was doing and encouraged him to do, I believe, encouraged him to do what he did. Often we receive thoughts that work against our own interests, and I do experience that quite often. You know, since you mentioned it, yes, many of us in our community have those same experiences with negative thoughts, and you have to kind of guard against these types of things. So yeah, that technology exists, and it is being widely used.
Absolutely, Derek. You know, a lot of time I remember when we first started doing that show, we had we called them TIs then. We called y'all TIs then, and people would email me and say that these people are just making this stuff up. You know, that stuff don't happen. Our government would never do anything like that. Why would they want to control someone's mind? And the good news is, for the last year, maybe year and a half, that we've been having our target individual family on here, we have not received very, very many negative response, because one of the things that I always ask, they always ask me to ask you on there now, asking you, what if this, this is not true. You're making it. But why would you make this stuff up? See, that would be my thing. It's just too many people who has who have came in contact with this. And I remember Elvira. Remember, she's deceased now. And remember, she always used to say she was bleeding. She always said she would bleed, and she'll go to the hospital, and they would not find any blood or anything like that where she was bleeding, supposed to be bleeding internally. Because they had put it in her mind, and they did it electronically, to convince her that she was bleeding, even though there was no evidence of her bleeding. You see, and then eventually she did pass away, and she was a very, very good friend of mine, and she's a strong supporter. And I always really appreciated Elvira, because I kind of like understood her. You see, a lot of times people didn't quite understand that, you know, they was she's nuts and she's all this. And any time that she went to the hospital, they would try to put her in some kind of institution, because they thought that she was crazy, hallucinating or whatever it was. But I believed her. I believed that she thought in her mind that she was bleeding internally. You see,
well, she was manipulated. She was, Elvira was. She was very manipulated, and they are masters at manipulating circumstances and suggestive thoughts and ideas. So I think that a lot of her suspicion that she had about people around her were subliminals.
Yeah,
and that's something that they utilize quite frequently in our community to cause all kinds of chaos. So if you notice, there's a lot of infighting in our community, a lot of bickering, things like that. And this is a tactic It is a technique that they use to destroy a group or organization. And they don't have to talk to anybody. They can just send disruptive thoughts. And that's something that they are very, very adept at doing. And people are unaware of this technology, but it exists. If they were to look up a device called the LIDA machine, L-I-D-A, it comes from the Russians. It has that suggestive capability, and it's a primitive form of the more sophisticated technologies that are in use today, but it's a device that is visible. You can look it up on the internet and see it for yourself. It has a variety of mind control capabilities. It uses sound. It uses light. It can hypnotize an individual. It can program thoughts. And it was brought to the United States back in the early 1980s, and it was studied by a guy named Ross Ady. He was the head of the Brain Research Center here at the University of UCLA. And he looked at the device and studied it and so forth and analyzed it and spoke about its capabilities. But that is one device that is visible. All the other types of equipment I've not really seen but have experienced the effects of. But if someone wanted to see what these mind control devices look like, that's something that they can view by looking up the LIDA machine.
Absolutely. How do you spell that?
L-I-D-A. The LIDA machine. L-I-D-A.
Okay.
LIDA.
Very good. So, wow, you know, you have been very, very helpful today, because I know that the people are listening and they actually want to write about it. And I think you have, you know, you have given them a open door on actually what is actually happening, because, you know, people have a history. If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't really, you know, they really don't care. And they would say, well, none of this stuff is actually happening. You know, they would say that in a minute, but we've been very fortunate, Derek. I tell you, for the last maybe year and a half or 2 years, that we've been having our target individuals on, we have actually educated these people enough to make them think now that maybe this stuff is happening. This stuff is for real. And
it's very much for real. And the danger of, we were talking earlier about the election, the danger of this type of technology is it's invisible. No one sees the operator using this device, and it can do things like influence an election. You're wondering, a friend of mine in the community, we were talking about this election and how so many people voted for Trump, and you were saying, well, how do all these people vote for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could have been subliminal suggestions. It could be, all kinds of technologies are being utilized by our government. So there's a lot of that is a possibility, and that is really the danger, one of the dangers of this type of technology in the hands of, politicians or people that have influence. So it's something that the public really needs to be aware of, because it's dangerous. It could make or break this society in so many ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Derek, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate you. You have really educated me on this, and my goal is to move forward and have a meeting. Only problems, you know, sometimes when I invite a TI to come on, reason unknown, they get attacked or something and they can't come on, and it kind of like throws everything for a loop. But I'm going to continue to press on. And because I want people to know that this stuff is actually happening. And Derek, I want to thank you so much, because you gave me another tip of information that I think that people need to know, Gary. Thank you so much. I tell you, but we, you know, maybe sometime next month I'm gonna have you to come back on, especially when these guys want to know more information. And also, I'll, if it's okay with you, I would like to give them your number, but they'll mention my name, so that way you know it's you know it's from me. Or we'll talk about that, you know, because I think that's important, because I think the more we spread the word and educate the people, we have a better chance of getting this out here around the world. Thank you so much, Derek, and I really appreciate you. And let's keep it moving.
Okay, thank you, Reverend.
All right, now, that was my good friend, Derek. And I tell you this, you know, that information is gigantic, and it's good to know. I'm going to bring on Ron. And I know that he has a lot that he wants to spread also in reference to some of this. Ron, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am indeed. Yes. Well, what I'm now doing is I'm writing an article. I'm going to be writing an article. There are some individuals who have told me that they have been subject to cyber torture. I want to talk with them. I have to indicate that I am a very thorough reporter. I am going to ask for evidence and things like that, and I always try to get both sides. Now, if you want to contact me, again, my phone number, and I may be risking it, putting it out there with people who might want to do it, but my phone number is area code 202-843-7820. That's area code 202-843-7820. And my email address is Ronald Siegel. Now, my last name is hard to spell because it's S as in Sam, E is in Edward, I is in Italy, G is in good, E is in Edward, L is in labor, 726@gmail, and that would be G is in good, not email, G is in good, .com.
Very
and,
good. Very. And Ron, okay. What I'm going to do, Ron, I'm also going to recruit people to come and speak with you. And I know you're not going to write about everybody, but the ones that have the evidence to support what they're saying. And I tell you this. Yeah, I took a group of, I call them target individuals. They don't like that name, but that's the name I know them as. And I like that name, you know. I took them, we went to Washington, D.C., and we had the opportunity to deal with the senators. And the house, we had a stack of information. We went to Chicago and saw Bobby Rush and Danny Davis, those house members, and I explained to them what was going on. And it's a funny thing, they was like they didn't know nothing about this program. They didn't know that it even exists, and I was shocked that for them to even say something like that, because if they didn't know, they should have known. That's my way of thinking. You may not know about it, but you should know about this program, especially if it's destroying people's lives. See, my thing is this. I believe every single person on this earth is expendable when it comes to this government. I believe every single person. And when you're talking about experimentation, you see, they'll experiment on anybody to try to get something done. Even this vaccine, they're talking about, you know, it all is proven to be 90% effective. That's hard for me to believe. They haven't had anything in this world that they created that was 90% effective. They haven't. To me, right there, that puts up a red flag to me, you know, but that's me, you know. When you start exaggerating, I have a problem with that. You didn't just say, well, you got a 50-50 chance. Then that way it's up to you. It's your choice whether you're willing to take it. But yeah, what I'm going to do, Ryan, I'm going to recruit people to talk with you, and also there are going to be other people talking to you. And what we're going to do, you're going to take your time and write the story. And also, there's some other guys on here too that said that they're going to write the story about the target individual, because now it's a hot item since it's actually on the show, been on my show, and people been actually listening and actually sending me all kind of good stuff that they want to know more about this. So I'm excited, Ron. I'm looking forward. And how soon do you plan on start writing this story?
Well, as soon as I get the information.
Okay.
I will be doing it.
Let's say next week, if I had 3-4 people call you next week.
Yes. I will welcome that.
You're welcome that. Okay. Well, that's what I'm looking for. I want to know when you're ready. And if you want me to call first and let you know who's going to call.
I can say that in one word when I'm ready. Now. N-O-W.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. You have a great day. And take care of yourself.
You too.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and now all right. Now I got to bring in the one and only. There's not two of this person. There's only one. The one and only Marcina Cole. There's not two of her. Absolutely not. There's only one. This world could not handle two Marcina Coles. No, they can't. I don't care what
you
put out there.
Yeah, I did.
They can't handle two Marcina Coles. Not in this world. They cannot handle two Marcina Coles. I'm telling you what I know, not what I think. Marcina Cole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's just a lot going on, and I only could absorb so much. The way
Absolutely.
The nation is affecting us mentally. We have an increase of people across this country that's been diagnosed with mental depression. You name it, they got it. And it's because of what's going on at the Capitol, what's going on at the White House. The failed leadership from Donald Trump has caused a global pandemic, higher numbers than the world. And I'm talking about the coronavirus, COVID-19. That's what's happening. Death has fallen upon us. People who would have not have died, but they did because of Donald Trump ignored the pandemic that started in Wuhan, China. Unfortunately, it was brought to this country by a European. When they came and traveled from the UK to United States back and forth, this is how it started. Trump lied and said it came from China and all that. What initially started from the Europeans. It's unfortunate where the numbers have climbed tremendously because their president, not my president, Donald Trump, had politicized what was going on. He ignored about the COVID-19. So many people who had gone to the hospital, particularly people of color, they didn't get the proper treatment, and they end up being sent home, and they died. And the numbers were extremely large, which when I had my form in 2019 reclaiming the right to health, and I talked about the racial disparity when it came down to the health and medical, and I had a form, and people's like, oh, why are you saying that or whatever? And some people are like, you're right on point. But I did not know when I had this form, and I had physicians and registered nurses, panel discussion, and a number of other things as far as information about health and what's going on, why we have the same illnesses as white people. When we go to the hospital, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and a number of other illnesses, but yet we die quicker. So there's something to that. And so here came COVID-19. I had no idea about COVID. My son is dead, and that's what made me start this Reclaim Your Right to Health, because he's dead because the system failed him. The hospital killed him. And then I met with other people, said the same thing. So we're dealing with this, And then when COVID came this year, and I believe it was here in 2019, toward the end of 2019, but it will say January when there were cases, and Donald Trump still ignored it. And we were dying like it was over 1,500, Reverend Pinckney. You know, and it was this terrible people that I knew, a person that I was right next to. She notarized some paperwork for me. And a week later, I get the call that she died of COVID. So it was, you know, and we're talking about friends, coworkers. This is what went on. Some of them went on ventilators. Some of them were turned, people that I knew were turned down at various hospitals. It was like a checkerboard. They would send them to another hospital. The hospital send them to another hospital, and then they're not here today. So we lost a lot of good folks out here. And many of us can tell the story about their loved ones. I almost lost my daughter from COVID-19. So, but the only thing saved her was that she didn't go to the hospital.
Amen.
So her but my point is moving forward is that what we have here, you know, it's like you said, 73 million people voted for Trump. And I tell you why. Because it's a difference between black and white. It's drawn right down the middle of the United States. It's about a lot of people that's not people of color do not care for black folk. And they don't want, they want Trump because Trump has already made it clear he don't like black folks. He don't like Muslims. He don't like this and that. It's all about the corporate greed, the rich white people. And we can already see what's going on with this country right now. He don't want to concede. We want to move forward, but he's still there. He's like a cancer that's spreading. And then his followers are supporting him and making up this fake so-called voter fraud. And this is what he started himself, the voter fraud and voter suppression.
Absolutely.
That he thought the people were going to sit at home. Black folks would just say, oh, well, I'm not going to vote. Trump is going to get in. No, we were out there in numbers. Millions of us was out there, turned it around. And so we have Joe Biden, and we have a person of color, Kamala Harris, black and Southern Asian mixed. But so we want to change, but then he's holding things back because he wants to cry like a baby. And I don't know why the white people aren't even saying that this man's delusional. He's a psychopath. He's a murderer. He's a mob boss. We can go on and on and on all the things about Trump's history, but they won't talk about that. All they're trying to say is, oh, you know, he wants to stay because he felt that he didn't do this and he did that. You know, just keep it real. The man is a psychopath. So he's still kicking his feet like a child. And so right now we're in a upsurge with the pandemic. We're talking about 100,000 cases a day with coronavirus. It has not decreased. It has increased because he's having us focus on his problems, which ain't our problems because he stole millions of dollars. You know, it ain't our problem what's going on with him after he leave office. Hope he would go to jail because New York City is waiting on him. He'd be a regular private citizen, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, so he's making it miserable for everybody else. And so people are letting their guard down, Reverend Pinckney. They're not wearing the mask. That some of these white folks are going to court because they feel it's infringing on their rights not to wear a mask. In the meantime, these different groups with their, you know, those white supremacists that Trump just loves so very much, carrying their weapons at the state capitals across the country. And so we got here in the state of Michigan where a gentleman named Lee Chatfield, he's a Republican House Speaker. He didn't care nothing about the mask, and he took it to Supreme Court, Michigan Supreme Court. And unfortunately, they took the executive powers from our Governor Whitmer that, you know, hey, you know, she can't tell people to be distant, 6 feet distance, and wearing masks and all sorts of stuff. So they put in the hands of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. A whole bunch of crap. And so we see these surge of cases because they're playing with our lives. You say, I mean, what's the big deal of wearing a freaking mask to protect yourself and others as well, protect your family? And then we have situations where we've got colleges, we got kids that are going to school now, and then they get cases with the COVID-19, you see, because the government don't care about us. So they're spreading it, they unknowingly spreading it to other people. I've got a member of my family came back home. I don't know who that person, who they're dealing with and all that. They could unknowingly spread it to my house. So they asking people to limit their gatherings because the upcoming, you know, the holidays that people celebrate, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, and so on and so on. They say limited 10 people. You know, but my thing is, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be home. Yes, I've gone to stores and shopped and all that, limited. I'm talking about food stores or whatever. But anyway, it's a difference. It's no normalcy whatsoever. So people thinking it's normal and party and all that, those days is over. We got cases of over 11 million and climbing. Those are reported cases. Now think about the ones who have a language barrier and they're not communicating and they're not getting tested or they're not going to the hospital. So they don't count those numbers because they don't know about those numbers. So we can say 12 million and up of cases of coronavirus. And then I said 300,000, okay, but they said 245,000, but I'm pretty sure it's climbing and climbing and climbing because we got a lot of politicians, governors, that especially in Texas, we had a governor that didn't let people say, you know, didn't want to wear a mask. Okay, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. And so in Texas, it surged to over a million. Listen to this, Reverend Pinky, over a million people with coronavirus in Texas. Mm. So, you know, and I got doctors there. So my point is, you can't, coronavirus don't care about your affiliation, your political affiliation, whether you're Democrat, Republican, third party, Green Party, whatever. It don't care about that. It's taking us out, and we got to be serious about that. Hopefully, I don't know what Biden's going to do because it looks like we're going to have some more obstruction in 2021 with Mitch McConnell and his folks. So, but in, you know, so that's the, you know, majority senator in the Senate. And so we know what he had gotten in place. I'll just say this real quick about Trump and Mitch McConnell. They got in place over 218 federal judges that this is a life-term appointee across the country. So that means that we're going to be set back and future generations are going to be set back. And I'm talking about when it comes down to climate change, human rights, a right to choose, a woman's right to choose as far as abortion. So we're talking a lot of different cases that can affect people way before, you know, after our task, long it's still going to be happening. So this is demonic. These people aren't human, folks. They're demonic. And it's unfortunate.
Yes, they are.
That
and let me say this too, Marcina. You know, like, you know, they talk about, you know, like it's a Democratic Party for abortion. And these Republicans, they don't care nothing about no abortion because they don't care about black people getting shot down in the middle of the street. They don't care about black people. Yeah, they don't care about nothing like that. And they have the nerve to talk about, well, Democrats support abortion. No, what they do, you have a right to choose. That's your choice.
But
tell people this because most people don't know. You see, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say 90% of Republicans are basically liars. You know, that's what they
big
do, and
liar.
They don't mind. And anytime you can get 73 million people, you hear what I'm saying?
Too many.
Yeah, you get 73 million people to speak on. And to go out here and vote for a racist, a liar, a guy with no more.
A murderer.
and for some reason they think it's okay. And rapist, everything. See, but it tells you they don't have any morals. That's what that tells me.
You know what it tells me? It's a mirror. It's a reflection. You know, with a mirror reflection of you. So when they see Donald Trump, they see themselves. So all that lying and grinning to black folks, they can't stand us. They hate us. And I'm not saying all the Caucasian whatever, but they know which ones I'm talking about. I don't have to do a percentage on that. But the point is, it's clear as day. Somebody get those numbers of them voting for Donald Trump. And as dangerous as he is, and he's showing it now because he's still causing a lot of chaos that we don't need. It's killing us. That's all I can say with Reverend Payton.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think the best thing that would happen if they send him to prison.
That would
be the best thing that could happen to this country, you see, and let him know that he's not above the law, you know. And all these folks who go around here want to support him, wave their Confederate flag and one of the things that they was trying to see, they tried to build the Proud Boys up to be. It's only a few of them. It's just a handful of them guys. And, you know, they ain't gonna.
Right.
They, there's no smoke behind them because it's only a handful of them guys anyway. You know, So, but we got to understand that in most of these groups, it's a lot of them, a lot of small groups. That's what it is. You know, they haven't came together, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of small groups. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're talking about thousands of little, you know, these little hate groups and stuff like that. And sometimes they merge into your group, even though they have hate in their heart.
Oh, I know. I got some in my group, you know, I got this, different pages and stuff on social media, but I know who they are. It's just that, you know, you just can't even spend a lot of time to wing them folks out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I can say this, Reverend Pinckney, I want to touch on next time I come on your show, is the question is, can Trump, because he's been hinting on this, can Trump pardon himself? Or can he allow Pence, the vice president, have him take over and then have him pardon Trump? So I don't know what's under Trump's sleeve, what he plans to do. Pardon himself so he won't be charged with any crime, and we know he's got
numerous charges. The state of New York can charge him, and he can't pardon himself. You see, when the state
on that case, but it's other cases as well, and so outside of New York, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know his stupid lawyers, like, you know, Gigliani, whatever his name is, they making plans to protect this devil. And so I had enough of him, and millions of people had enough of him, especially when he, talks about negatively about people of color and then calling a continent of Africa a shithole and
mm-hmm.
Haiti a HIV country and all these other negative things. He went on and on. I said, how dare black folk vote for this man and all these negative things he said about people of color and calling, you know, Kamala out of her name, Harris. So, yeah, with Rush Limbaugh and Trump. So all this ignorance is showing what's going on, and we got to get away from that. Let's move, and we got to move forward and get to 2021. So 2020 has been hell for a lot of folks, you know. And so I want him out the door, pull him from his tail and his horns, and throw him out. And he got to fumigate White House because he spread that coronavirus all over the
and that evil spirit. Don't forget that evil spirit. That spirit, he has what you have called an evil, wicked spirit. And you got to bring real prayers in there. I don't mean like Paula White.
Oh
man, she's a slime ball too. Yeah. She'll have a place
in
hell.
They said bring the sage in.
Yeah.
You're going to have to bring something in
to get rid of that evil, wicked spirit that exists now at the White House, you know. And here's another thing. This is an opportunity to get rid of that first lady, too, because She's another one. You know, she's slimy too.
Oh yeah, real slimy. I mean, she came in there with butt naked pictures and all that. And when Michelle Obama had a sleeveless dress on, when her husband was president, they talked about her like a dog when she had a sleeveless dress on. This woman was in the cockpit at a private little plane, and she was butt naked. And another one with women, just all these provocative type images, and they still just loved her. She has never said anything that was notable. You know what I'm saying? Just ignorant. The only time she said something that sounded good was when she copied off Michelle Obama, and she copied off her speech verbatim. So the whole family is dysfunctional. But yeah, we'll talk about other things as well, because we ain't got time for that. We can't even save lives with this coronavirus. The last time we had a pandemic, we still got one. People don't talk about is HIV. Okay.
Yeah.
And so so that's what's going on from 1981 to now. And then before that, we had the bubonic plague and the Spanish, or the, we call it the Spanish flu, and all this other stuff. And Trump and his followers did not care. Pence, all of them walking around with no mask during the debate, presidential debate. His whole family didn't have a mask. They should have been thrown out. He should have had preferential treatment when he come up in there and have debate and not wear a mask and stuff. You understand? I don't get it. And then all of a sudden he played sick. He said he's sick, and then they supposedly gave him the top medicine that was unproven. It was, you know what I mean, it wasn't even on the market. So how dare you so-called doctors give him something that's going to take care of him?
Well, here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever had it. I don't believe he ever had it, because, first of all, you can't believe nothing that come out of his mouth. You can't believe nothing that with people around him. They all lie. The only way you could tell he's lying when he opened his mouth, you know, or he's writing something or tweeting something. That's when you could tell when he's lying. So if he said it, I don't believe it, you know. I don't believe nothing in this world this man has ever said. Because to me, he's
right about that.
Not only he's going to go down in history as the worst president in the history,
country.
And he can hang out with Woodrow Wilson. Those two, they will have pictures of those two on the wall.
You know what they said that he couldn't hold a cup without had to be both hands, or he couldn't stand up good and all this stuff. This was over a month ago. They were talking about Donald Trump, and they suspected they were sick. And the next thing you know, he ended up going to the hospital. Then I heard once over a year ago that he had a mild heart attack. I don't know if you heard that one. But I'm pretty sure he had medical talent just like everybody else, because the fact that he was surrounded with folk, you know, those people, his white supremacist people, they ain't had no mask on. I mean, this man, how is he being immune to all this? You see what I'm saying? So something was going on with his health. I don't know what it was, but I do know I won't say this, but I do know he's still around, and he's still causing havoc. And I'm fed up with it, and we are fed up with it. And it's time for us to move on without him and take all the trash with him, Ben Carson. I wish Mitch McConnell could go, all them folks that
you know, Ben
him.
Carson, he got the virus.
That's what my daughter said, that he had the
he
virus.
Got it now. He's on the quarantine.
He's on the quarantine. You know, get them people out. Maybe they need to have one of those trailers that they can all get the trailer and get them outside, and so they can start cleaning up that White House. It's going to take more than 20 hours. They got to do this in 2020.
I'm going to tell you just like it is. I plan to go to Washington, D.C. to help him move out. I'm going to make sure I'm going to get all that trash out. Yeah. And they don't even have to pay me. I pay my own way.
I got family members over there, and unfortunately, some of them had got the COVID-19, but they had a mild case. Yeah, it was actually the whole family, because two of my elders, the only two left, they were sick, and they got it. And I believe they got it from going back and forth to the hospital. And then the caregivers, they got it, and it spread it to the relatives and all that kind of stuff. And that was some months ago. But so now my uncle is not doing too well. I don't know what's going on. He was doing pretty good. Now I don't know what's happening. But this is what's going on where, you know, it gets close to home with this disease, and I'm not feeling good about it because it is something to be concerned about it. Because you never know when COVID going to knock at your door. You can make all the precautions you want to. But, you know, we should have had a national mandate. We didn't have that because we had that fool up in there, and he didn't call it and say, look, everybody, we're going to have to shut down, lock down, got to wear a mask, don't do this, we have to do that. He said nothing. All he said, he was against the mask, and he spread it to those ignorant folks that was his followers, and this is what we got. This is what we got. I did my part, you know what I mean? But others have to do it as well. It's no big deal. So what, you have trouble with the mask? Just keep on wearing it and think of it. You're saving a life, including your own. So that they can't figure that out, shame on them. Get your brain examined because you're stuck on stupid.
Amen. All right now.
You know,
listen.
Well, thank you so much.
And you know, and thank you for being on the show. But let's stay focused. And I want you to go home with this thought. 73 million people voted for him. Oh wow.
Oh yeah.
It's not even a joke, but it's almost ridiculous. 73 million people. That tells you something. That we need to get ourselves better prepared because hey, it's happening, whether we like it or not.
It's happening.
So on that note, I'm gonna say goodnight to everybody. And
yeah,
next week
so
same time, same station.